Welcome to The Joy of Motherhood. This is a podcast that's aimed at the heart of women who love being a mom. Or maybe it's for those of you who wish you were a mom. You're just aching to be a mom, but it hasn't happened to you yet. This is a podcast that's going to be for those of you who are empty nesters. You wish you could do it all over again, and your heart is still turning toward that singular occupation and calling known as motherhood. This is a podcast for those of you who are in the trenches of motherhood. Your daily life is about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, about potty training, about driver's permits. It seems like you are mired every day in the sludge of what being a mom is all about. Hi, this is Carol McLeod. Welcome to this podcast entitled The Joy of Motherhood, where we talk about all things having to do with being a mom. Listen, I'm an empty nest mom. All my kids, all five of them, have grown up and left me. Can you imagine that? The nerve of those kids. But I've discovered in this season of my life that I want to seed into the lives of the next generation of mothers. So welcome aboard. Welcome to the joy of motherhood. And let me just say, I'd love to hear from you. I would love to hear from moms in all seasons of life. I would love to hear from pregnant moms, moms of preschoolers, and moms of 10 kids. I would love to hear from moms with only one child. I'd love to hear from moms who are dealing with infertility. I'd love to hear from women like me, empty nest moms or grandmothers. I'd love to hear from moms of teens or working moms or homeschool moms or single moms. I would love to hear from you, and I'd love to hear what your questions about motherhood are. You can email me at carol@justjoyministries.com. That's carol@justjoyministries.com. Email me all your questions. No question is off limits. We can talk about potty training or nose picking. We can talk about what's a good option for how to educate your children. We can talk about discipline and extracurricular activities. We can talk about sleep habits of children or how to get rid of that pacifier. We can talk about healthy eating and bullying. Whatever you want to ask, you can ask. This is a safe place, and I'd love to share with you some of the things that I have learned over the years of motherhood. Well, our question for the week, I heard from a mom named Tracy, and her question was this: how do I keep my relationship strong with my teens? Isn't that a great question? I love that question. I love her heart that she wants to keep a strong relationship with her teenagers. Well, I think because I have gone through the teenage years five times, I can give you a tip or two. First of all, one thing I did with my teens is I tried to figure out what their love language was. One of my boys, I'm a toucher and I was touching him all the time, but that's not his love language. So I was actually driving him away by trying to touch him. And so I discovered that his love language was gifts. So if I would leave a $1 bill on the counter and say, here, get a Gatorade after a football practice, I was like the best mom in the universe. And then with another one of my sons, his love language was words of encouragement. So I didn't need to buy him anything. I just had to say to him, you're doing so great. I'm so proud of you. And he'd say, really, Mom, you think I'm doing good? He just drank up the words of encouragement. With another son, now his love language was physical touch. So if I would just give him a hug or a kiss on the cheek or sit beside him on the couch with my arm around him, that really helped our relationship. So my first tip is figure out what their love language is. And number two, what are they interested in? With all of my children who had different interests, five different kids, five different interests, I would bond with them when they were teenagers over what their interests were. So one of my boys loved college basketball. And so I learned the names of the coaches and the players, and we'd watch basketball together. for two of my sons, it was music. So I would listen to the songs they were listening to, ask them who their favorite artist was, say, hey, I heard a song. Would you listen to it with me? But I would try to bond with my children. You know, with my girls, with one of them, it was music. And she was a pianist. And so I would say to her, hey, have you heard anything by Chopin or by Gershwin? Or we'd read books together. We'd read Karen Kingsbury books together. So figure out what they're interested in and then join them in that pursuit. Let them know that you are interested in what interests them. And I hope that will help you raise your teenagers well and stay close to them. Well, today we're going to talk about you choose your adjective. That's right. You know, the day you were born is such an important day in your life, but perhaps more importantly is the day you figure out why you were born. You see, discovering your purpose in life is so important. Discovering your purpose in life, that's a day of unmatched significance in the life of any human being. And I was raised in the height of the women's movement in the 60s and 70s when people were saying, don't be a teacher, be a professor. No, better than that, be a college president. Don't be a nurse, be a doctor. Hey, why don't you discover the cure for cancer? Girls were told, don't be a legal assistant, don't be a stenographer, be a high-powered corporate attorney. Don't settle for being a secretary, be a CEO. These were things that my high school teachers told me, that my high school guidance counselor said to me. I was in college when women were taking their place as astronauts, as anchors on the network news shows, and as Supreme Court justices. And into this estrogen-laced, purpose-filled, historical moment, I discovered why I was born. I'll never forget that day. It was January the 29th, 1981. Matthew Craig McLeod, our first son, was born 6 pounds, 11 ounces at the University of South Alabama Medical Center in Mobile, Alabama. I knew in that moment that I had been born to be a mom. And as you know, as I've told you before, I loved everything about being a mom. I loved nibbling on his little toes and smelling his breath so fresh from heaven. I remember, yes, I told you this before, that Craig and I used to race to see who would be the first one to get up with him in the middle of the night. I loved singing silly songs for him and hearing his first baby chortle. I loved watching him take his first tentative steps across the front of the church that my husband pastored. And then he turned two. This little bundle of joy turned two, and I discovered an even greater reality than why I was born. See, discovering your destiny is not enough to ensure that you live a life of purpose. There's something beyond destiny that determines the power and the imprint of your singular life as a mother. So let me tell you about the day that even took me further into my destiny. Discovering why I was born was not enough. We had been snowed in our East Aurora home for over a week, and Craig and I only had one car, so he would just stop at the grocery store on his way home, and I really never left the home except for Sunday morning church or Tuesday Bible study. And the snow was relentless that winter. I had a new baby boy, Christopher Burton McLeod, who was a colicky baby, and he was up every single night, every hour on the hour. My pregnancy with him had gone for 9 months and 3 weeks. He weighed 9 pounds, 11 ounces when he was born, and it wasn't a pretty picture, okay? This cold, snowy, blizzardy Buffalo day started like any other morning. I made Matthew scrambled eggs and applesauce with my robe on because I hadn't brushed my teeth yet. Christopher was crying. I needed to nurse him. And sweet Matthew was singing and swinging his chubby little legs while he ate his breakfast. Matthew reached for his glass of milk and accidentally hit the entire gallon of milk with his innocent little arm. That milk that was supposed to last nearly a week went splashing over the table, across Matthew's breakfast, and onto my floor that hadn't been washed in months. I kid you not. It hadn't been washed in months. Who washes their floors when they're great with child? And who washes their floors when they've been up all night with a colicky baby? Not this girl. A week's worth of milk had been wasted. My already messy house was now even worse. The baby was screaming louder. And I opened my mouth in anger and frustration. Tears were running down my cheeks. I was out of control. Can any of you relate? I had not slept in months due to that miserable last trimester of pregnancy that had gone for nearly 10 months. I was out of control. I had a colicky one-month-old who was in constant pain and cried nonstop. We had no money for anything, and it wouldn't stop snowing. I sat on my milky kitchen floor, and I cried. And Matthew, my two-year-old son, my gift from God, whom I had wounded needlessly and profusely with my anger, crawled into my arms and cried too. Christopher, the newborn, was crying with pain and hunger. We were all crying, and I felt like I was a failure at the one thing that I wanted to do well. The one thing that I knew that I knew that I knew that I'd been called to do above all others in this moment, I was an abysmal failure. And in that moment, I heard God's voice begin to speak to my weary, frustrated soul. This is what I heard God say to me. Carol, you're a mom. It's who I've created you to be from the beginning of time. You can't change your call or your destiny. You can't change who you are or what I've called you to be. You are going to have these two little boys and others for the rest of your life. From January 29th, 1981, until you go to heaven, your identity is that you are a mom, a mother. And the Lord said to me, but Carol, you choose how you want to do what I've called you to do. I can't do that for you. I can't choose how you mother. You must do that for yourself. And so I learned while sitting in a puddle of tears, milk, and toddlers that the day of my birth was not my defining moment, that the day I discovered my purpose was not my defining moment, but my defining moment was the day that I discovered how I would fulfill my life's call. My friends, you are more defined by your how than you are by your what. I was a mom. That was my calling. It was my purpose and my identity. It was my noun. But I had to choose the how. I had to choose the adjective with which I fulfilled who God called me to be. I could be an angry mom or a peaceful mom. I could be a frustrated mom or a fulfilled mom. I could be an impatient mom or a kind mom. My friend, you choose the adjective. You are a mom and nothing can change that, but you are the only one with the power to choose how you mother. Your past has not dictated what kind of mother you are today. Don't give your past that kind of power. Your income does not dictate what kind of mother you are today. Don't give money that kind of power in your life. You choose. Will I parent with peace, with kindness, with joy, and with celebration, or will I be angry and impatient and demanding and filled with strife? You see, you and I choose our adjective. We choose what kind of mother we will be. And so, on that February day of 1983, I got up off the floor. I gave Matthew some graham crackers and a banana. We went into the living room and we sat on the couch and nursed and sang silly songs. And I had new purpose in my heart. I would choose. I would choose what kind of mom I would be. I would choose my adjective. And so in that season of my life, I chose two adjectives that described how I was going to mother. I want to share those adjectives with you just briefly today. My first adjective was kindness. I was going to be the kindest mom at my moment in history. Listen, my friends, young moms, if you choose no other adjective at all, choose this one. Choose to be a kind mom. Proverbs 31:26 says, the teaching of kindness is on your tongue, and your tongue is where it all starts. Because the number one way we mother is by the words we speak to the children in our homes. Now, this word teaching in Proverbs 31 means habit or custom or practice. Kindness should be so much a part of who you are that it's always comes out of your mouth. It's your habit. It's your custom. It's your practice. Make a list of the things that you will never say to your children. I did this. I made a list. I would never say, "You drive me crazy. I love you, but I just don't like you." I would never say, "I hate you." I would never say, "I wish I would never have had you." I would never say, "You are just like your..." I would never say those things. The teaching of kindness, the habit of kindness was on my tongue. And then I made a list of the things I would say often, even daily. I was sure that I said to every child every day, "Hey, I love you. I love you so much. I'm so glad that I had you. You know what? I love you and I like you." I would say to my kids, "You're so dear to me." I would say to them, "You're bound for greatness. God's going to do something great with you." I would even say that to my babies, to my newborn babies. "I see greatness inside of you." You know, let me tell you this. It's often in our children's most difficult moments that they need to hear from their mom, "I love you and I like you. I'm so glad that you're mine." In your child's most difficult moments, do not morph into Cruella de Vil, the Wicked Witch of the West, and Scrooge. No, don't become a deficit in your child's lives rather than a benefit. When they're having a difficult moment, be the kindest mom on the face of the planet. Proverbs 3:3 says, "Kindness will never leave me. It's bound around my neck." So every day when you get up, remind yourself, "Mom, remind yourself that kindness is not leaving today. Kindness is written on my heart. I will be the kindest mom in America today." Proverbs 19:22 says, "What is desirable in a person is kindness." My friends, we're parenting for the long haul, not just for the toddler years. And if you want to have a relationship with your teens, be kind today. Your kids will still desire to be with you when they're teens if you are the kindest mom on the planet. No one can resist a truly kind person, even hormonal teenagers. Colossians 3:12 says to put on a heart of kindness. And I can guarantee you, moms, there will be moments when you got to put it on, when you don't feel like it, but you have to act like you are kind. When you don't feel it, remind yourself that you are habitually kind. Now, the second adjective that I chose is I was going to be the most joyful mom at my moment in history. Proverbs 31:17 says that this Proverbs woman girds herself with strength. How does she do that? She does it because she's joyful, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. To be a joyful mom, I have to tell you, I have a quiet time every day. When the kids were home, it wasn't always a quiet time, but I did read my Bible every day. Some days when my kids were at home, I'd only read a few verses, but I would try to involve my children in my devotional life, in our time in God's presence. We would act out Bible stories. "Hey, you be David and I be Goliath." I'd let them bring all their stuffed animals to the couch and I would tell them the story of Noah's Ark. We would multiply loaves and fishes with little goldfish crackers. The Bible says to serve the Lord with gladness in Psalm chapter 100, verse 2. And that gladness must start within the walls of your own home. You should have the most joyful home on the block. Listen, I knew I was not the richest mom. I knew I wasn't the prettiest mom. And heaven knows I wasn't the skinniest mom. But I knew I could have the most joyful home on the block. We celebrated every day, every ordinary day as if it were a holiday. Listen, we made up holidays in my house. "Hey, it's 47 days till Jordan's birthday. Let's go in the yard and play soccer because he loves soccer." On our children's birthdays, we'd make signs, 15, 20, 30 signs, and we'd hang them up. "Joy is 11, and we'd put down the names of her friends and the names of the books that she liked to read. I'd declare a Princess Day, and we'd have a tea party. On April Fool's Day, I served fried chicken for breakfast and pancakes for supper. On St. Patrick's Day, I served green mashed potatoes. We started listening to Christmas music on October the 1st, and it was a national holiday in our home. I wanted my house to be the most fun house on the street. And the joy that has been found at 16 Laurie Court, at 813 South Willow Street, at 83 East Academy Street, at 8120 Stillbreeze Drive, at 58 Middlebury Drive, and at 6 Deer Run is my greatest treasure this side of heaven. And the children that I shared that joy with are the greatest delight of my life. So remember, you're parenting for the long haul. The seeds that you plant today is what your future will look like. You choose your adjective. So thank you for joining me today. Thank you for listening to my story. We're going to have a blast as we discover the joy of motherhood together. I'd love to hear from you. Send me your questions, Carol at JustJoyMinistries.com.